upper 50s. We're back to the 30s on Friday night and Saturday night, and a cool, crisp weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
From Alabama News Network, I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. Churches across Alabama are holding prayer vigils for missing college student Anaya Blanchard. She was last seen in Auburn on October 23rd. If you have any information about where she is, call Auburn Police. After a leadership shakeup, parole hearings are set to begin again later today. This comes after Governor Ivey approved legislation to reform the state's Pardons and Paroles Board back in June. The legislation sets new guidelines for the pardon and parole process. And the Montgomery City Council will revisit a panhandling ordinance tonight. The initial ordinance criminalizing panhandling was unanimously passed in July, but is yet to be enforced or signed by Mayor Todd Strange. The Southern Poverty Law Center has threatened to sue if it is not vetoed. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Alabama is a state deeply rooted in military tradition, and we at Alabama Home Mortgage appreciate the sacrifices that our men and women in uniform make each and every day. I'm Kim Williams, and I'm here to tell you there is a difference in mortgage companies. Don't be fooled by mortgage companies with veteran in their name. Call the mortgage company with veterans in their blood. The entire Alabama Home Mortgage staff are children of military veterans. We understand what it means to serve. If you're looking for a VA loan, call Alabama Home Mortgage 567-4223. With a VA loan, there's no money out of pocket, 100% financing. There's simply nothing better than a VA mortgage loan. Ella, tell them what to do.
Call my mom, Kim Williams, at 567-4223. That's 567-4223.
That's right. Or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to get your VA home loan today. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
A white supremacist in Pueblo, Colorado is charged with plotting to attack a synagogue. The FBI says Richard Holzer would use explosives to,
quote, get that place off the map.
A federal appeals court has ruled that President Trump's tax returns must be turned over to a grand jury in Manhattan. Trump will now most likely go to the Supreme Court to fight the decision.
President Trump's being sued by a woman who claims he raped her in a department store and then lied about it.
The U.S. officially opts out of the Paris Climate Accord 2 years after President Trump announced he would.
There's a new celebrity on Instagram. Matthew McConaughey activated his account the day he turned 50, describing himself, among other things, as a pickle expert.
And scores the touchdown on the return. Fumble, scoop, score, Jordan Lewis.
It is a Cowboys win here, 37-18.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. Newstar 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. 272-9228, that's where we are. First-time caller, since you let Joey, the producer, know, because you're going to have your name thrown into the drawing for the Sweet Creek Farm Market twice. The giveaway basket, $60 value. We do that drawing on Friday between 2:30 and 2:40. But any caller can get in on that drawing. It's going to be a great weekend for it because we have the Alabama LSU game with President Donald Trump in attendance there. Two states he wants to win. So I guess it'll be straight down the middle.
Sure.
Of course.
How do you think the reception's going to be?
I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, likewise. I was commenting earlier, there are definitely some boos at the Nationals game, but I watched the tape. I got a few.
Did you say the Nationals?
Yeah, at the White House.
Oh,
that hug he gave the catcher, put on the MAGA hat. But the UFC appearance, Trump showed up to that big prize fight for UFC. Yeah, this is, for people who don't know, weird to think, but it reminded me of John Cena in a WWE arena. Half boos, half cheers. It creates this very unique sound. It's just a wall of noise, and that's what I heard when Trump walked in the UFC. There's a mixed reaction. But really, it's better to be booed than to just be politely golf clapped, in my opinion. Oh, the man gets a reaction.
Yeah. Now, I saw the tape of it, and I didn't think that there was a chorus of boos over there. I think there were some boos,
right,
but it was
kind of a mix.
It's kind of like your description when a wrestler comes out and part of the crowd likes him, part of the crowd doesn't like him.
Right.
You get that kind of wall of noise that's out there. Speaking of which, let's pull up to the clips. Let's do the, before we kind of dive back into this, let's get into what's going on with the pollster talking about Mississippi, the Kentucky trip that happened two nights ago, or last night.
The people of Kentucky will vote to reelect your terrific Republican governor. We're sending a signal by doing that to the rest of the country, the Republican Party. You know what we stand for, but you see what's happening with the Democrats. They have gone crazy.
Well, President Trump still has a year before his election day, but he is shining the national spotlight on three governor's races on the ballot this November: Kentucky, Mississippi, and Louisiana. So here to break down what these races mean for the President Trump 2020 campaign, pollster Jim McLaughlin. So let's bring up the races first of all, and you can take us through there. Louisiana, Mississippi, and Kentucky, as we mentioned, the three states with governor's races. Let's begin with Kentucky, since the President was there last night campaigning for Bevin, who he actually brought up on stage.
Yeah, and the most interesting part about all three of these races is the Democrats are trying to run away from the Democratic candidates for governor are running away from the national Democrats, and the Republican candidates in all these governor's races, you saw it last night in Kentucky, they're embracing President Trump, and they're making it about impeachment, and it makes a lot of sense, because in a state like Kentucky, Donald Trump is very popular. He got 63% of the vote there.
Brunson? As in Charles Brunson? Brunson, welcome aboard the Demo Show.
Mr. Dan, you've been in politics for quite some time.
I was in government.
My brother Eric calls you guys quite a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, who owns currency and the money in this country?
Who owns the currency?
Yes, sir.
You mean who has the most money, or who
is in charge of our money?
Oh, the U.S. Treasury. The Treasury of the U.S.
Well, I mean, I we know that you've been, you know, I mean, you've... No, I'm on your side by all means, but if that be the case, why in the world are these politicians thinking that the best policy for us is to let these guys control our money? I mean, I'm dumbfounded. I mean, I would prefer to have...
When you say these guys, are you talking about the Democrats in Congress?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The you know, the deep state.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I mean, I'm a little bit dumbfounded. I mean, whose money does it belong to? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that would like to... I mean, it's our money. So, I mean, what I'm a little bit confused about is, like, why are we allowing what? How many in Congress and in the Senate control $330 million? I mean, as far as our taxes, I think, you know, I mean...
535, but it's...
Yes, sir. Yes,
well,
sir.
But, I mean, you're kind of mixing metaphors here. The currency is what's called a Federal Reserve currency. The Treasury of the U.S., his name is on the bottom of it, and it's a note payable. It's like what they're basically doing is giving you the currency as a loan, and then you go earn it, and then you go buy things with it.
No, that's the reason. I know that you're very good with what you do, and believe you me, every time that, I mean, we deal with you know, with like currency, I mean, I've often wondered, I know this, it's state laws and what have you, but still, I mean, I'm thinking along the lines, I'm thinking, well, you know what? Who actually controls our money?
The Federal Reserve does. That's even worse than Congress, am I
right? Right. The Federal Reserve.
Because what happens is we don't know squat about what they're doing.
Right.
You know, if there's any one person on that right there on airwaves, it's because Mr. Morris has been there, and he's never been on the front line. But aside from that, he's been there on 1600, and I applaud him because I've been thinking a lot about that. I'm thinking, you know what? Who is in charge of what I've got in my pocket?
Well, I mean, yeah, we could spend a week talking about the Federal Reserve.
I know.
And the good and bad of it. I mean, I think the manipulating our currency is not a good thing.
Sir?
I think the Federal Reserve needs to be audited.
I appreciate your service for Mr. Reagan. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for the telephone call.
Thank you, Bronson.
What do you say we do a month of shows on Federal Reserve?
Yeah, I guess they control the money supply, and I guess the Treasury can issue more treasuries, like, bonds.
Print more money.
Yeah, so the money supply, though, is... And there really is a lot that's going on behind the scenes with the... It's rumored the Fed shoring up certain banks all over the world and whatnot. It'd be fascinating if they were, in fact, audited.
The lady who was in charge of the finances for our campaign is Bay Buchanan.
Yeah.
And her brother is Pat Buchanan.
Oh, yeah, Pat. Good old Pat.
So she would be on the airplane, and when I would do an event, I would take all my receipts up to her, and she would write checks for everything, and then I'd go take and throw my checks out. So she and the advance staff were really close.
Yeah.
So she became the treasurer of the United States. So when the first bill that came off with her signature on it, she invited a whole bunch of us down to the printing and engraving building for when that stack of bills came off.
Yeah.
And so what she did is she had them cut the bills, and all of us, and she paid for it, of course, it wasn't a giveaway. She took the bill, and she handed all of us the first bill that came off with her name on it.
That's really cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
To have your name on there. And Pat was there, and... her other brother, the younger brother, that was a great guy. The Buchanan family is a very interesting family.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I agree with you. We got talking about the Federal Reserve for hours, if not days on end. It would put a lot of people to sleep. But it's unfortunate that such a boring technical issue
has so much influence on our lives.
Probably one of the most important issues that's not talked about in the world right now.
Yeah, I mean, you have no clue how much the Fed influences your life. I saw the Fed influence my life on August the 4th in 1987 when they raised the interest rates, and then 30 market days later, the stock market crashed. And it's where I'm a big technician when it comes down to the market. Any good technician will tell you that's why it crashed, because it raised it one full point.
What scares me the most is that the most brilliant minds that we have on the planet now, who are intimately involved with, central banks of the world, the little bit I know about economic history, even those folks don't know quite where we're going. We're in uncharted waters.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing. It's a gigantic guess.
Right.
I mean, I've been to the Federal Reserve. It's like going into a castle.
Right.
I mean, I went down with Reagan, did the Reagan thing, and when I did the pre-advance, and they took me on the tour of that place, it was unbelievable. I was going like, this is the most ornate building I've ever seen, and particularly for being a government building. Okay, we digress.
Yes.
Let's get back to the Trump's poster here. Highlights on Mississippi and Louisiana. We're going to talk about the impact of this.
Let's now go to Mississippi, where President Trump won the vote in 2016, 57.9% compared to Clinton at 40%.
Yep, and the interesting part here is, again, you've seen the Democrat, Jim Hood, has really tried to distance himself from the National Democrats. As a matter of fact, when he goes up on stage, he's at campaign events, he shows his gun all the time. And he was trying to hide his liberalism, like he's trying to claim he's a moderate. But last night, he was run away again from the National Democrats, but they did a robocall from President Obama last night, and the Republican candidate, Tate Reeves, is really tying himself to President Trump in that race.
Finally, let's bring up Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And in Louisiana in 2016, President Trump won by 58.9%.
Yep. And again, it's a place where he did really, really well. And folks were saying in the beginning of this race, John Bel Edwards, the Democrat, was going to win overwhelmingly. But the truth of the matter was, when they had the first jungle primary, and they do things a little bit differently than in Louisiana, he only got 47% of the vote. Eddie Rasponi, the Republican, is running really strong now. And a lot of people think, on the strength of the president and his coattails, even in an off-year election, the Republican has a real shot at winning Louisiana.
Okay, and what he didn't say is that the Republican is running against the incumbent Democrat governor. Now, this election is taking place in those three states of Kentucky, Louisiana, and Mississippi today. And watch how the media handles this. If the Republican wins, they're going to go, he's expected to win. And so that's no big deal. And, you know, Trump going into those three states, and he went into all three of those states at kind of the eve and pre-eve of the election. He was in Kentucky last night. The vote is today. He was in Mississippi, I believe, on Friday. Then he was in Louisiana about 10 days ago. But this is important by a couple of factors. One, the polling in all three of those states show it neck and neck. So what I'm going to be interested in tomorrow is, what were the end results? Were they off by 2%? Were they off by 1%? Or were they off by 7%? This is going to be the first time, and everybody kind of goes back, oh, that 2018, Donald Trump couldn't deliver, lost all these House seats, is because he wasn't on the ballot. But in this, it's a much different getting a congressional district to vote and getting a state to vote. It's much easier to do the state than to try to get a singular congressional district.
And also in 2018, the whole Mueller thing was hanging over Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, which I think it intentionally was drawn out to do that.
Exactly.
So there are going to be so many opposites, but I want to tell you something. When you look at a Trump voter, that person is motivated and they are going to turn out to vote. When you look at some of these others, a Biden voter or a Warren voter, a Buttigieg, they're not as excited about their candidate as a Trump person is for Trump. And that's going to be the difference of the election. So I'm going to look with great interest at tonight's returns to see how that looks, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. Let me see if I can plug in this last piece, because we're about to change subject matters.
And that's a question, you know, going into this today, the influence of President Trump, is this an indicator of how things are going to go moving forward?
Yeah, and that's the key, because one of the problems the Republicans had in 2018 was during that off-year election, a lot of the Trump voters didn't turn out that turned out for him in 2016. So that's going to be the key. Are they going to be galvanized, especially now with impeachment, to go out and turn out in these off-year elections?
And do you think if they're galvanized enough to head out to the polls for these elections, that's an indicator that they will be galvanized enough a year from now?
And nobody does a better job of turning out his base, those middle class, those working class voters, than Donald Trump does. Yeah. I mean, he's the turnout guy.
He is the turnout guy. Newstone 93.1. Dan Moore Show, we're going to be back after this break.
A funny thing, am I still too young? He kissed the band on there, she took his ring, took his baby.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
As a business owner, how important is it that the first person your clients meet be exceptional? Do you realize they don't actually meet your employee first? They meet the outside of your building first. What you do on the outside of your building tells a customer a lot about what you do on the inside. When customers drive up to any business, a restaurant, a bank, a hospital, what is the first thing they see besides the building itself? They see the landscaping. If the landscaping is beautifully groomed, aesthetically pleasing, and professionally managed, you're going to instantly gain respect and trust. Property Management Source has proven to be one of the most professional landscape management companies in the area for businesses. For your business to succeed, call PMS 593-3341. They know how important a beautifully landscaped, manicured entrance is to any business. Call Property Management Source 593-3341. They are your first impression. If it's outdoor, they do it.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
272-9228, this is where we are. Heading around to the bottom of the hour for the last hour of the Dan Morris Show. Boy, time flies when you're having fun. Speaking of having fun, let's go to Cranky. Cranky, how are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm like a Led Zeppelin song. I'm dazed and confused here.
Don't do that.
You know, following the story where Sondland changes testimony, are you familiar with this?
I am.
I hadn't been, and if you've talked about it, I'm sorry. I've been in and out this afternoon, so I didn't, you know, haven't heard it. But I'm just sitting here just scratching my head. It says here, his latest testimony to the House Committee's leading impeachment inquiry represents an update to the testimony he gave in October and contains significant new details, okay? Let me just throw this out there. You know, if you or me does that, we're charged with perjury, and our A double dollar sign is going to jail. But when it suits the narrative, they are merely updating their testimony. I don't. This is from the NBCNews.com website.
Yeah, I was looking at several different outlets about this, and basically, what's happening, he is saying that the money was being withheld not for them to go investigate Biden, but for they make a declaration that they're doing something about corruption, and they've done something, and they're doing something about corruption in the Ukraine.
And it also seems like it's a wash, because he makes clear it was his presumption the aid was tied to a public statement about anti-corruption. But then he also gave further information on the call he made to the president before he texted back Bill Taylor. And the president apparently said on that call, when Sondland asked him, what do you want from the Ukrainians? Trump said, nothing. I don't want a quid pro quo. I don't want anything. I want Zelensky to do the right thing.
Well, it's just like, wash.
They let you keep revising your testimony till they get it the way they want it. Is that it?
I don't think what he said and what he revised it to is damning.
No.
I just, when you or me say something contrary to something that was previously said, you know, we're doing perjury. It just goes back to Cranky's rule number one of politics when dealing with liberals. It's not the what, it's the who. The what does not matter, it's the who that is of utmost importance. I just
Well, and Cranky, you just reminded me of something I said to Dan off air. I read a lot of pages of the Ambassador Yovanovitch deposition. And at one point they asked her, what is the corruption like and the reform efforts like in Ukraine? She said, well, they really want the rule of law. You know, the principle that despite anybody's status or background or wealth level, they're all treated the same by the law. And I had this thought of, wait, is she describing the U.S. or Ukraine? So, I mean, we have better rule of law than obviously Ukraine, but come on, corruption is all over the place.
Well,
and
you know,
he
means
all over the place.
Yes,
the lieutenant colonel. I didn't realize that he was retired. He wore his full dress uniform, and he's a retired lieutenant colonel.
I didn't know he was retired.
It says he's retired, my friend. Not unless he just retired. He was retired. He was. Absolutely, it makes reference to it. I'll send Joey the link on...
We'll look it up, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's just... As Jay Leno would say, it's unbelievable. And that's just precisely it. It is unbelievable. Cranky goes off into the sunset shaking his head. Y'all have a good evening.
Thanks.
Thank you. I thought he was active still. He might now be off the NSC. My understanding, he's still active.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it now. I'm seeing that there's another Finman that's 88 and retired, but that guy's not 88.
Yeah, we'll have to look into more.
Let's go to Duke. We'll keep looking this up. Duke, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing fine, just slinging that firewood. I was going to ask you a question. I was watching Fox. They were showing polls in the swing states that Biden beating Trump by 10-12%. Do you believe that? I don't buy it.
I do not. Where'd you see that?
It was on Fox News this morning when I was getting ready to go to work. I can't remember what it was exactly, but it was like, I mean, I don't even know if it, I think they said swing states. I was just barely watching it, but every state, it was like, he's up 10-12, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah, I went through the Seneca poll last night that has everything really tight. First of all, it is among registered voters, and so anything that's a registered voter today means nothing. Because a Trump supporter, a Trump voter, to me, is twice as likely to vote as a regular registered voter for a Democrat because of how they feel about Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think those polls are really skewed. But I have, let me see if I can pull that up. I don't see that Vindman is retired.
Yeah, I think he's no longer literally serving in the Army. He's now a Foreign Service officer, works for the NSC. But I think he still maintains his active status.
Let me, what I'll do...
Oh, yeah, that's no problem. You don't have to worry. I was just curious. It just seems like they're doing everything they can to...
Of course.
It's sickening. Can I get in on Sweet Creek?
No. Absolutely.
Tell me what day it is and time.
There you go. Well, give me...
or ask me.
Okay, what day do we do the drawing?
Friday, 2:30, 2:40.
What's in that gift basket?
Whatever my old girlfriend wants.
Duke, one thing I like about you is you know what size your toast is buttered on, my friend.
Oh, my birthday's 8/8. I guess y'all probably know.
Yeah, that.
I remember.
Actually, Joey got a tattoo that says 8/8, Duke.
Joey, you going to Baumhauer's Wednesday?
I'm probably going to skip this week if I'm being honest, but
I guess. Man,
we'll see.
All right, take care.
Have a good one. Newstone 93.1. Yeah, we made it to the bottom of the hour. Got 30 more minutes of the Dan Moore Show. You want to get your shots in? Well, you better call.
broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is Frank Bertarelli with Bert's Tackle Box, located in Wetumpka, Alabama. We'd like to take this time to thank Blue Water Broadcasting for their help in getting the name out of Bert's Tackle Box to the community. Thanks again, Blue Water Broadcasting, for all your great support and friendship.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Testimony of U.S. Ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, and former U.S. Envoy to Ukraine, Kurt Volker, made public a short time ago. Fox's Chad Pergram says some questions involved the role President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, played regarding Ukraine.
They're trying to establish what was the role of Rudolph Giuliani and also what was the flow, as they put in the transcript, of information maybe to the president to try to potentially get access.
Democrats now requesting acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney testify.
In that letter, the lawmaker say they believe Mulvaney has firsthand knowledge of President Trump's dealings in Ukraine in an effort to withhold security assistance to pressure Ukraine's president to open an investigation for political interest. It's not expected Mulvaney will cooperate with the request. Other administration officials scheduled to appear this week have been no-shows.
Fox's Jared Halpern. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. We have a nice day underway with a good bit of sunshine mixed in with a few clouds. The warming trend continues. Today's high 74, mostly clear tonight, overnight low temperature 51. Tomorrow, sunshine, beautiful day, mid-70s tomorrow. I think we'll be in the mid-70s again on Thursday. Chance of a couple of showers later on Thursday afternoon, but a better chance towards Thursday night into the overnight hours till Friday morning when it ends. Breezy, sharply colder Friday. Friday's high in the upper 50s. We're back to the 30s on Friday night and Saturday night, and a cool, crisp weekend. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Need to do some holiday shopping, but you're low on cash? No problem. ASC Credit Union has you covered with holiday loans and rates as low as 7.99% with approved credit. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASC Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASC, equal opportunity lender.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV. Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Her voice, a crystal echo, lies humming in your soul. So patiently awaiting for your ears to behold. For your ears to behold.
Ken Reynolds making a cameo appearance in the Dan Morris Show.
Yes.
Dropped in. He's a great guy. Making down Mr. Downtown Montgomery, I call him. I told the mayor that's what my nickname is for him. Okay, so let's see where we are time-wise. Oh, man.
We're running out of time.
We're running out of time. Let's see which way we want to go here.
Andy McCarthy or Lindsey or, you know.
Lindsey Graham. Let's do Lindsey Graham.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham, he was good on this. Kind of laid it out there. He is talking about the, and let me tell you what you're doing. You're going to hear from him. You're going to hear the strategy within his words. Listen in.
Last week, in a series of angles, I warned Senate Republicans that if they don't step up and vociferously defend this president against this ongoing farce, guess what? Democrats would exact revenge on them if they, heaven forbid, went on to win big in 2020. Now, as if on cue, the Washington Post reported over the weekend that a, quote, growing number of GOP senators consider acknowledging Trump's quid pro quo on Ukraine. And of course, the media, they're running wild with it.
Some Republicans in the Senate are on the brink of publicly admitting that there was a Ukraine quid pro quo. And that directly contradicts what the president has been saying.
Some Senate Republicans are arguing for a shift in strategy, acknowledging the quid pro quo, but insisting it is not an impeachable offense.
The Republican Party and it's those close to the president realizing that they have nowhere else to go other than acknowledging that there was, in fact, a quid pro quo.
Hold on there, counselor. Joining me now is Lindsey Graham, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Senator, is this true? And is this just a rhetorical argument? Okay, just assuming all your facts, Adam,
right,
and Nancy and,
right,
company, assuming all everything you say is true, we deny it, but assuming it's true, right, it's still not impeachable. Is that what's going on here?
I think maybe a little bit of that. Here's what you can take from this whole discussion. There's not one vote for impeachment removal from office based on the phone call in the U.S. Senate. I don't believe Mitt Romney would vote to remove the president over the phone call because, one, he did nothing wrong. If that's an impeachable offense, you won't have any presidents left.
Okay, I like that. And the thing, I'm with Andy McCarthy on this, where the president keeps saying it was a perfect call.
It was a perfect call. It was perfectly executed, okay?
I don't think that is a good defense because it's too absolute.
Right.
And it's not leaving any kind of gray area out there. So let's continue on with Lindsey Graham, and you're going to kind of get the tactic here.
Tonight, a lot of kids behind him had read the transcript t-shirts. I really want one of those.
Have you read the transcript?
Cool? Of course I read the transcript. Okay. Gosh, you don't respect me. Of course I read it many times.
It was just to get you going. There's nothing wrong with that phone call. Did he say, unless you investigate my opponent, Joe Biden, I will cut off your military aid? Did he say that? No. Has anyone said the president said that? What did the president of the Ukraine say? No, I didn't take this as a quid pro quo. We didn't cut off aid, and Joe Biden wasn't investigated.
Tonight, Rand Paul, of course, it was a Kentucky fest for Bevin's big thing. Rand Paul was at this rally, and he kind of was pushing the Senate to be really strong. Watch.
Yeah.
President Trump has great courage. He faces down the fake media every day. But Congress needs to step up and have equal courage to defend the president. If Shifty Schiff will not let Hunter Biden come, and if he will not bring the whistleblower for, every Republican in Congress should take a walk and say, this is a farce.
Well, he's going to walk out. I mean, if you don't have these types of witnesses walk out, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I really believe the whistleblower statute has become a dangerous tool in the wrong hands. A whistleblower statute is designed to keep somebody from being fired if they report corruption. It was never designed to keep somebody anonymous.
It's not in the statute itself.
So, I like Senator Grassley, but all due respect, you can't prosecute somebody. Impeachment is the political death penalty based on an anonymous source. So, yes, Rand is right. We need the whistleblower's name. We need who they are, and they need to be cross-examined under oath about any biases they may have. Number two, we need to look at whether or not Hunter Biden corruptly engaged in lobbying. Did Joe Biden ask the prosecutor to be fired because he was investigating his son? And John Solomon, one of your guests coming up, has given us plenty to look at. So I hope Chairman Risch, the Foreign Intelligence Chairman, we'll open up an investigation about the role of the State Department in all this.
Yeah, there's a lot he can do with the Judiciary Committee. The guy, he's been totally absent, is Burr on the Intel Committee. Not a peep from him. And that really aggravates me because he has a golden opportunity to weigh in on some of this, particularly the whistleblower, and wanting to talk to the whistleblower and talking to some of these other folks. But how all this got into the Intel Committee when we're talking about foreign service issues? This is nuts, and this is just part of the Pelosi plan. Let's continue on with, excuse me, Lindsay, Ukraine and the deep state at the State Department.
State Department, going back to the Reagan years, Lindsay, Senator Graham, have been, this is always a thorn in the side of conservatives. I mean, yeah. It just is, because they have a different worldview. I mean, they do, and they're burrowed in, and they're in for the long haul.
So just what John has found is some communications. Well, bottom line is the company that Hunter Biden was serving as a board member, they went to the State Department and said, if the prosecutor doesn't leave Hunter Biden alone,
lay off,
it's going to hurt us. Now, that to me is a bombshell of all bombshells, which should lead to a Senate investigation.
How could Reese not call him and call members of the Burisma board? How could he not?
So the member of the board actually met with John Kerry.
Member of the board actually met with John Kerry. That's right. Where we read from the John Solomon part.
Right.
Okay, so let's continue on with Lindsey Graham on the whistleblower now.
Let's move on, though, to what's happening on this whistleblower front, because the whistleblower's attorney said, we will submit written answers, Senator Graham. So written, what could be wrong with written answers? I mean, come on. Just let the him or her.
If you're already charged with a crime and the person accusing you of wrongdoing, they don't have the ability to say, I'll take written questions. You have a constitutional right to confront your accuser. And this idea of saying they will take written questions violates every norm of due process. Can you imagine if a Republican had done this to a Democrat? That we had a whistleblower that we would keep anonymous accusing a Democratic president of wrongdoing, and they said they'll take written questions, the whole town would blow up.
But didn't Trump submit written questions when he was during
Mueller? Yeah, he's the president of the United States, right? He's the target of an investigation, and they agreed upon written questions. When you accuse somebody of a crime, you can't do it anonymously. You can't get a parking ticket based on an anonymous source.
Great job, Lindsay. Okay, now, you're in this next clip, which I segmented away, I found out something I did not know, I didn't remember, I guess I didn't know either, that Lindsey Graham was the impeachment manager for Bill Clinton. Listen in.
Now, a lot of people forget that Senator Graham was an impeachment manager in the Clinton impeachment. So you've been down this road. Any other advice for the senators? I mean, you were an impeachment manager. You can put on a case in the Senate. You go and present your position. The senators don't get to ask questions.
Right.
They just have to sit and listen.
But you can ask written questions.
Yeah, but not, you can't interrupt the impeachment manager from putting on.
Here's what I would tell my fellow senators. Every impeachment except this one was conducted by outside counsel. I'm the one guy that said Mueller wasn't on a witch hunt. A lot of people, but I took a lot of heat.
I think from me.
Yeah, from you. But here's what I said. I trust the guy to do his job. I introduced legislation saying he couldn't be fired without cause. Adam Schiff is not looking for the truth. Jerry Nadler is not looking for the truth. What's going on in the House is a bunch of partisan BS. Every Republican senator, they signed on my resolution saying the process wasn't fair. We should continue to prosecute the people prosecuting the president. We should let every American know this is the first time in history anybody's ever been impeached by a partisan. That if you think Adam Schiff is out to get the truth, you shouldn't be in the United States Senate. All of us should be throwing the BS flag on this process in the House.
I like the BS flag. That was good. Lindsey's getting good. He's learning how to make the rounds, too. So that's a good sign. Let's do this. Let's go to Nancy Cordes is going to be talking about the transcript. I saved her out because I want you to listen to how she presents this news story.
The first full transcripts released in the House impeachment inquiry show the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine felt intimidated when she heard what President Trump said about her to Ukraine's president. Mr. Trump called the impeachment probe a brazen assault on our nation at a rally in Kentucky last night. Nancy Cordes is on Capitol Hill. Nancy, we're also hearing a former associate of Rudy Giuliani may get involved in the investigation.
That's right. Lev Parnas, who was recently arrested on campaign finance violations, will apparently now comply with a subpoena and testify before Congress. He allegedly helped Rudy Giuliani get that U.S. ambassador to Ukraine removed because he believed, allegedly, that she was standing in the way of his business dealings there.
Deranged, hyper-partisan impeachment witch hunt.
At a Kentucky rally, President Trump slammed the impeachment inquiry. Senator Rand Paul joined in.
We also now know the name of the whistleblower. I say tonight to the media, do your job and print his name.
The whistleblower's identity has not been revealed. His or her lawyer said any member of Congress who tries to out the whistleblower is a disgrace. In the crowd, some Trump supporters donned T-shirts that said, read the transcript, a reference to the president's July phone call with the Ukrainian president.
My phone call was perfecto.
I thought the read the transcript thing was good. But here Nancy Cordes say, nobody is outed. That's not true.
Yes.
Because Real Clear Politics Investigations has.
Wait, so are you saying they're wrong? That Paul Sperry of Real Clear Investigations is wrong? Or are you saying these aren't the droids you're looking for?
Yeah.
Like, what is this right now? It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
It's amazing. And that's this is exactly what the problem is the way they are presenting the facts, because the facts are according to them. Let's stay with Nancy Cordes on the Ukraine issues.
Mr. Trump insists the call was perfect, but in newly released testimony, former Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch says she felt threatened when she learned that the president called her bad news and warned she was going to go through some things.
This is someone who served the country with distinction for decades. It is someone who also is one of the first witnesses to this irregular back channel that the president established with Rudy Giuliani.
Yovanovitch also told lawmakers she was warned by Ukrainian officials last winter to watch her back because the president's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, was planning to do things, including to her.
She got fired, finally.
Giuliani apparently viewed Ambassador Yovanovitch as an impediment to his efforts to get Ukraine to investigate President Trump's potential rival, Joe Biden.
Do you agree she was smeared?
I agree that the president has the ability to name who he wants.
More deposition transcripts are being released today on the docket. Kurt Volker, the former special envoy to Ukraine, and the ambassador to the EU, Gordon Sondland, two people who were instrumental in creating that back channel to the Ukrainians, urging them to open the investigations that the president was interested in. Tony.
Nancy, as we get closer to public impeachment hearings, our team there in Washington is learning more about the Republicans' political strategy. What more can you tell us?
That's right. Well, these public hearings are viewed by both sides as so crucial in shaping American opinion. And so Republicans, CBS News has learned, are considering putting Jim Jordan temporarily on the House Intelligence Committee. He has been one of the president's fiercest defenders. He has been in all of these depositions. He's not on the Intel Committee, but he may be assigned there temporarily so he can continue to make that case over the next few weeks as we move into public hearing.
That's interesting that CBS played that story, did that part of the story. Because I think they recognize that Jim Jordan can do a really good job with that. News on 93.1. Demo Show, we're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
She moves like an angel, and seven evening stars can shoo the windows of her universal house. Her universal house.
He may not know. he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Before we get into other information, someone called in about polling. The polling that they were citing was the ABC News polling showing it would have like Trump, Biden beating Trump by 17 points, Warren beating Biden by Trump by 15 points. Those are all likely registered voters, not likely voters. And it doesn't matter what the national polls say about anything. You've got it's Electoral College, and you got to take their we're back to 15 key states like they did in the 2016 race. They're going to monitor 15 key states. They're building the files for it now, so they're going to do the running total like they did last time, where they're calling out of a pool the same people. They're qualifying them, making sure that they are likely voters to see if they change their minds. So that polling was really accurate. So I think we were total, out of all those states, I think we're only like a total of 1.75% off kilter on that when we, on the final results. Okay, so without further ado, let's do a couple of fun things here. Let's do Justin Napolitano talking about President Pelosi.
The New York Times weighing in on a post-impeachment scenario by coming out against the federal law that puts Speaker Pelosi in the White House if President Trump and the Vice President Mike Pence were both removed.
The op-ed titled Nancy Pelosi Should Not Be President, which is surprising in the New York Times, argues, in short, it's a whopping conflict of interest for a lawmaker to be leading an impeachment inquiry that could result in her own ascension to the presidency.
Here to weigh in on a 1947 federal law that the Speaker of the House is third in line to the presidency is Judge Napolitano.
Should the Speaker turn it down, would that be the President Pro Tem of the Senate? I don't even know who that is. It would be the senior Republican in the Senate. I think it's probably Senator Grassley.
It is.
If he's not the senior, and I'm saying he is, I apologize, Senator. Right. It's not about your age.
It. Right. So what about
I think the article is a little silly and fanciful. It's almost science fiction. What would be the basis? First of all, if you don't want Donald Trump to be impeached, there are a lot of reasons not impeaching him, the least of which is Mrs. Pelosi might become the right president. Second, what is the case against Mike Pence? I don't understand this. Why does this editorialist say if Donald Trump is impeached and removed from office, two huge leaps, that Mike Pence would be impeached and removed from office for the same reason, and that Nancy Pelosi becomes president? The only thing they didn't put in this is that Nancy Pelosi would get to pick her vice president, and she'd pick Hillary Clinton, and then she'd resign, and Hillary would become president. I mean, this is crazy.
Diabolical.
This is science fiction.
The point of it's just to say
that was good. I like a playful Justin Napolitano like that.
Oh yeah,
much better. Okay, so now Justin Napolitano is going to be talking about the transcripts.
That there's a conflict of interest, right?
Well, in the editorialist's opinion, there's a conflict of interest, but there's not a real conflict of interest because the chances of Mrs. Pelosi becoming president, even if Donald Trump were impeached, She's not involved in the removal proceedings, if they are to happen, just impeachment, are so remote, it's not worth discussing. But we're discussing it.
Right. why would the New York Times do that? Because, you know, a lot of people who read the New York Times like Nancy Pelosi, and for them to say, she shouldn't be president.
I don't know. This law was written in 1947 when we didn't have a vice president. FDR had died, Harry Truman was president, and there was no provision for a new vice president. As we know from the Richard Nixon Gerald Ford experience, the law was changed to allow the president, when there's a vacancy in the vice presidency, to appoint a vice president confirmed by two-thirds of the Senate. That's how Gerald Ford became vice president and then eventually president when Richard Nixon resigned. But it never got beyond that.
So we'll see where we're at. And the President of the United States said, read the transcript.
Yes.
Saw the T-shirt,
yeah.
Judge.
He's saying that, yes.
Right.
I think there's more than just the transcript, but I understand his argument.
Right. You mean it's more of his meetings?
Yes, yeah. And that's what we're going to hear about in 2 weeks.
I think he is incorrect by saying two-thirds. I think it's a majority of both the House and the Senate. That when you guys said that, not that Jason Powell would ever be wrong. Okay, so this, with the remaining time here, we've got New York Times examines how Trump's tweets are doing it. There's Scott Adams,
love this guy.
Let me tell you what I'll get this feed and it'll say that he's got a new video up.
Yeah,
he is great. He is our kind of guy. Very intellectual. Very, very intellectual. Listen in.
President Trump likes to hop on Twitter from time to time. And now, thanks to a recent analysis by the New York Times, we now know how much and what he's trying to say.
President Trump sending out more than 11,800 tweets since taking the oath of office. So how has the president's use of social media changed what it means to be the commander-in-chief?
All right, here to weigh in is the creator of Dilbert comic strip and author of this new book, Loser Think, How Untrained Brains Are Ruining America. Scott Adams, so when you saw that number, does this
surprise you? I love that.
No, not at all. The president has created his own television channel on Twitter because, you know, it's video, it's text, it's everything he wants to do. But the funny thing about it is when he first started tweeting during, you know, when he was running for president, people said, it's too much tweeting. You'll never get, okay, you got elected president, but now you need to stop. And then he just increases his tweeting. And I think historians are going to say, okay, that tweeting was a really good idea. It bonded the public to him without the middleman. And I think even the typos end up working in his favor because you know he wrote it. That makes it feel personal, and right. You feel connected to your leader in a way we never have before. Yeah.
That's perfect. Yeah. That's exactly right. And Covfefe, did you see that where the horse named that won $1 million purse?
Right. And Trump retweeted it. It was a report that said horse based on Trump mistweet wins $1 million prize. And Trump retweets that and goes, "How do you know it was a mistweet? How do you not know there was some deeper meaning involved?"
I tell you, Trump games them. Listen to the second part of this. He explains how Trump tweets. Listen in.
It's being reported that some of his staff wanted to restrain him. They wanted to read the tweets before.
15 minutes away.
Exactly.
That would have ruined everything. Because I think you could tell a massaged tweet versus an original. You look at it and go, oh yeah, he wrote that one.
People like him. The people who do support him, they like him for that, though, don't they? They like him because he says exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah. The authenticity of it, to know that you got it raw, you got it right from his brain, it's really what he thinks. Nobody fixed it.
So, Scott, how does that play into your book, Loser Think?
Well, the connection with the book is a little loose, but the Loser Think is rampant on Twitter. So when I would get attacks on Twitter, I would look at often the profile, and I would see that the good comments seem to come from people with economics backgrounds, lawyers, and then I see one that just made no sense at all on any logical level, and I click on the profile, and it'd be artist, musician. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody here. I'm just saying that there may be types of experience which give you access to the way people think in different fields.